Good morning, and welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. We're glad you tuned in today. Trinity Lutheran is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado. Pastor Jason Cody and the congregation at Trinity Lutheran welcome you to join them every Sunday, in person or right here on KSPK. And now, let's take you live to this morning's worship service with Pastor Jason Cody.
Good morning. The Lord's blessings to everyone in Christ Jesus. Great to be here together this morning around the Lord's gifts and in the hearing of His word. Thanks for joining us. This morning we're celebrating the baptism of Jesus, which is a blessed Sunday. You know, a lot of people ask from time to time, why does Jesus need to be baptized? We'll talk about that this morning. A blessed thing that He's done for us in His baptism. We welcome those who are joining us on the radio this morning. Thanks for tuning into our service. If you're gathered in the sanctuary this morning, we do invite you to turn over into page 2 of your bulletin, and we'll sing our opening hymn this morning. That's hymn number 402, The Only Son from Heaven. Let's sing together hymn 402. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your presence and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sin. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. We continue with our introit this morning, responsively, from Psalm 2 and Isaiah 42. Behold, my servant whom I uphold, my chosen in whom my soul delights.
I will tell of the decree. The Lord said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you.
Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage and the ends of the earth your possession.
You shall break them with the rod of iron and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel.
Now therefore, O kings, be wise, be warned, O rulers of the earth.
Serve the Lord with fear. And rejoice with trembling.
For his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all who take refuge in him.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Behold my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. To God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Father in heaven, at the baptism of Jesus in the Jordan River, you proclaimed him your beloved Son and anointed him with the Holy Spirit. Make all who are baptized in his name faithful in their calling as your children and inheritors with him of everlasting life. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. Our Old Testament reading this morning on our celebration of the baptism of our Lord comes from the prophet Isaiah in the 43rd chapter. I encourage you as you listen to this reading from Isaiah this morning to pay attention to the things that he says to us. But now, thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in exchange for you, because you are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you. I give men in return for you, peoples in exchange for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, who I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We continue with our epistle lesson this morning from Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We invite the congregation to stand if you're able for the Alleluia verse and the reading of the Holy Gospel. Gospel according to St. Luke, the 3rd chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
As the people were in expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Christ, John answered them all, saying, I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. So with many other exhortations, he preached good news to the people. But Herod the Tetrarch, who had been reproved by him for Herodias, his brother's wife, and for all the evil things that Herod had done, added this to them all, that he locked John up in prison. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heavens were opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Would you join us now in singing our sermon hymn for this morning? That's hymn 594, God's Own Child, I Gladly Say It, 594. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. You know, it was back around the turn of the 20th century that famous author Robert Louis Stevenson captured the hearts and the intrigue of America when he wrote his ode to us, adventure novel. It was called Treasure Island. Do you remember the book? Treasure Island. Captain Flint. These kinds of exciting voyages of Jim. It's a story about buried treasure, really. Which, while intriguing, it's kind of funny that if you look it up, buried treasure isn't really historically a thing. We're used to it from books like Treasure Island or movies that display this sort of thing, like Pirates of the Caribbean or even the old Goonies, if you saw that show. Buried treasure isn't historically that accurate. Turns out, most of the pirates, they didn't save money very well. Shocker. They spent it on rum and pleasures. While buried treasure isn't really historically accurate or very common, hope you're not out looking for it, treasure is still quite common. Old oak treasure chests, like the one in the story, aren't something we really have anymore. But treasure chests? We still got them. Most of them have a routing number and a bank account number on them. Have you ever stopped and asked yourself, what's my treasure? Or what do I actually treasure in my life? Our Lord, in Matthew's gospel in the 6th chapter, says some important words about this. He says, where your treasure is, there your heart shall be also. He's pointing out that things that we place value on in this life, our treasures, those reveal our hearts. Those show who we really are. So what's your treasure? It's worth some serious thought, some contemplation, some self-reflection, some introspection. See, because we have to be careful when it comes to our hearts, don't we? Because they're almost automatically going to seek and worship and serve the wrong things. And with these idols of the heart will come much anxiety to us. Most awake every morning of their lives on just a really confusing treasure hunt. Seeking treasures and pleasures. That's what we do. And all too often, we find ourselves quite disappointed with our adventures and what they yield us. Life is not Treasure Island, right? It's not working, this treasure hunt that we're on. So, since we're intelligent creatures, we begin to loathe the point of the whole thing. Life isn't really giving me what I want. How many times have you heard that from somebody or thought that yourself in your own heart or mind? It's not really giving me what I want. Eventually, many end up sort of despondent to it all, right? Just kind of feeling like, well, I work so hard. No, you don't understand. I work so hard and I don't really get what I'm after. They can end up unmotivated, drudging through life, not really seeing the joy. They end up anxious, we do, and even depressed. also, and self-medicated. Welcome to the world today, right? Where we're legalizing things that'll literally just erase our brains for a little while. It's not working. It's like we've been forced on some treasure hunt where we've all kind of figured out that we're not really going to get the treasure we want anyway. So what do we do? Well, see, God is faithful. It brings us back to his word. He commands us, actually. First commandment. Have no other gods before me, he says. Our treasure should be God and him alone. And we should see all other things that we possess or that he's blessed us with as though he's lent them to us for a time and for a purpose. By his gracious hand, he's given to you and to me. But here's the thing, right? It's weird because we're afraid. We're literally scared for God to be our treasure. Because we're afraid that if he is, truly, my treasure is God, then I'll have to, give up some of the other treasures I've found along my quest. We're afraid we'll lose the things that we love if we make God our true treasure. But let me ask you, is it working? Are those treasures satisfying? Are they making us content? Fact is, they're not. And sadly, our hearts, because of sin, are so misguided that they by default attach themselves to what they love. I read a book recently entitled, You Are What You Love, in which it displays this point quite eloquently. And that's what Jesus is cluing us into today with his words when he says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. We miss this fact, friends. Everything our hearts want to cling to, all that stuff, all those things that we give our blood, sweat, and tears to, they were created for us and provided for us by our loving God. Having God as our treasure, we have all things. And having treasures other than God, we may eventually lose everything, giver and blessing included. But why would he keep giving? And what motivates him to continue to provide and care so much and to forgive over and over and over, even when we search for gifts and ignore the giver? Why does he keep doing it? Well, see, God has a treasure too. You know what that is? It's you. It's me. It's us. The book of Ephesians outlines it like this. It says, as the husband treasures his bride, so Christ loves and treasures his bride, the church. Even when the bride's consumed with other things besides the husband, we all would give so much for what we treasure. We'd pay a high cost for something or someone that we did not want to lose. Same for God. There's always this cross behind the altar. We also have another cross on the altar here. There's many crosses in the sanctuary, actually. We counted them one time, and there's over 45 crosses in the sanctuary, believe it or not. There's some on your pews right in front of you, actually. But this cross, it is proof that you're his treasure. See it? That's what he's telling us. That's what he's showing us. But do you see that when you look at the cross? Do I? We should. We all should. When we see his cross this morning, we should hear those words that we read from Isaiah, where God said, "You are precious to me, honored, and I love you," it said. Did you catch that in Isaiah? It was beautiful. He said these kinds of things. Let me share some of them with you. He said, God created you. God formed you. Then he said in the rest of verse 1, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you." That's baptism. That's your baptism. "I have redeemed you on the cross. I have called you by name and you're mine." That's baptism too. He goes on in verse 2. He says, "When you pass through waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flames will not consume you." And in verse 4, he said, "You are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you. Fear not, for I am with you." Now, sometimes we might hear those words of Isaiah and think, is God really talking about me here, Pastor? Isn't he speaking about Israel, you know, walking through the waters of the Red Sea, crossing the Jordan River into the Promised Land when the waters stopped for them? Or the fire that he mentions, walking through the fire. Isn't this about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Isn't this about Elijah, maybe? Or even Pentecost? And the answer is yes. It is about those things. All those things from the Old Testament were all moving in a specific direction. They're all headed towards a goal, and the goal's Christ. And so Jesus fulfills these things, even these sayings in Isaiah 43. Jesus literally stands on top of the water. He walks across it. He literally goes into the fires of hell and comes out victorious. And that's kind of where we come in. He's the fulfillment of all the scripture. Jesus is himself. Everything's purposed in him, as Paul tells us in Colossians. So these sayings of Isaiah that we have this morning in our reading, they're not just about Israel. They're about Jesus. But if they're about Jesus, then they're also about you and me as his people. That's where we come in. Many people ask, why does Jesus need to be baptized when they read the gospel or they hear it read? He didn't sin. What's going on? It's true, he never sinned. However, if you notice what Luke does here in verse 21, it says, "When all the people had been baptized, then Jesus is baptized." See, at Jesus' baptism, it's almost reverse of what ours does. We're baptized, even today, to wash away our sins. But when Jesus was baptized, he was baptized to take all of them on himself. All those sins that washed off in the water landed on your Lord, and they still do. Those same waters that cleanse us burdened him for his purpose. He took them all, even the times that we've made our treasures the wrong things, when we've broke that first commandment. Jesus is baptized not because he sinned, but instead in order to take your and my sins to the cross. In his baptism, we celebrated this morning that he connected us to himself. He showed us what true treasure is. It's him. We're connected. So we're baptized. Yes, we still baptize today. But when we're baptized, we're united to the one who was baptized. That's what's going on. It's incredible and it's beautiful. So yes, Isaiah's words this morning about how precious Israel is to God, about his protection from harm, those words apply to Israel, but even more, those words were about Christ. And now since our baptism by faith, you and I are in Christ. So those words are to us. So the old pirate in us, that false treasure seeker, has gone away, and behold, something brand new has come forth. So hear those words one more time before we're done, because they're speaking directly to you. God is speaking directly to you. Hear him this morning. He says, I love you. You're precious to me. Do not fear. I am the Lord. The cross is showing us, friends, how God feels about us. The lengths that he's willing to go to save and to bring about new life. It's incredible. And this is a treasure that does not disappoint. He provides for us now, and he will provide for us in the life to come, constantly with him. The people, the treasures that you have, that I have, we'd do anything to protect them, right? How would Almighty God not do the same for you? But we doubt. We doubt. And we fear. And we're anxious. When life disappoints, brothers and sisters, when it feels like it lacks purpose, when the mundane is the hard thing to deal with, hear our Lord again, where your treasure is, there your heart shall be also. Maybe we've been on a crazy treasure hunt this whole time for the gifts, for the things that we think will satisfy. But this morning, he reminds us of our baptism. He changes our focus once again, not to the things, but to the giver of every single one of those things. Back to Christ. You're precious to him. He's our greatest treasure. This is a neat way to think about it, and then I'm done. Our greatest treasure is that we're his treasure. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. This time we invite the congregation to please stand if you're able. And we invite you to confess our faith together this morning to the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance of the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended to heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. He will come again glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge my baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated. We now come to our time for our prayer of the church. Our response for our prayers this morning is, hear our prayer. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Blessed Lord, you wonderfully foreshadowed the promise of baptism and the passing of your people through the Red Sea and the Jordan River. In Christ and by his baptism, you have kept your word and made baptism the water of new life. Give us your spirit that we would walk as the new and holy people you have declared us to be. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We give you thanks that you call and gather the baptized into your church. Lord, prosper the good work of the preaching of the gospel and the administration of the life-giving sacraments. Bless Matthew, our synod president, James, our district president, Dan, our circuit visitor, and all pastors and church workers, that their ministries would be faithful and fruitful. Lord, bless congregations and their members. Lord, as you continue to pour out your gifts upon us all, Lord, remind us that you are our treasure, not those things. And Lord, we also ask this morning that you'd rush aid and protection to the congregations and schools affected by the California fires. Pilgrim Lutheran Church in Pacifica, Christian High in Santa Monica, California. Trinity Lutheran in Simi Valley, California. Historic First Lutheran and Mount Olive Lutheran of Pasadena, California. Gethsemane Lutheran in La Crescenta, California. Emmaus Lutheran School in Alhambra, California. And Our Savior Lutheran Church in Arcadia, California. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Preserve the family, O Lord, especially all Christian homes. Turn husband and wife toward one another in love. Equip fathers and mothers for their holy duty as teachers of the faith. And preserve all children in the saving faith and the certain promises of their baptism unto life everlasting. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord God, your Son, Jesus, is the Christ and the true King of this world. Grant humility to the rulers of nations, especially our sitting and newly elected president, that they would submit to the preaching of his holy word for the sake of their own souls and for the good of your holy people. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We give you thanks for standing with us in times of weakness, illness, despair, and death. Give us every aid of your Holy Spirit, Lord, that we may endure these afflictions and find comfort in the healing wounds of our Savior. We especially name before you from the altar this morning Bob Phillips, Ed Crowther, Sonia, Larry Reinbarger, Audra Rendon, Susan St. Cyr, John Johnson, Katie and Eric Philly, Rob Miller, Rupert Gallegos, Ella Gonzalez, Richard Lynch, Lori Hauser, Jim and Linda Holman, Debbie Ford, Carolyn Geary, Betty Gray, Sandy Santa Stephen, Betty Patton, Sunny Rumler, Don Hermanson, and all those that we name silently on our hearts at this time. Lord, we ask for their healing and relief according to your will. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Lord, as you have joined us to Christ's death and resurrection in the sacrament of holy baptism, so feed us of his body and blood for the forgiveness and life in the sacrament of the altar. Give to your baptized children who partake this morning of the Holy Supper tender hearts that confess their need and rejoice in your gifts. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, you manifested yourself with the Holy Spirit in the fullness of grace at the baptism of your dear Son. With your voice, you directed us to the one who has borne our sins, that we may receive grace and forgiveness. Keep us, we implore you, in the true faith, since we have been baptized in accordance with your command and the example of your Son. Strengthen our faith by your Holy Spirit and lead us to everlasting life and salvation. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. We now come to the time in our service for the offering, a chance to give to the Lord a portion of those things that he's so graciously blessed us with. As the offerings are collected and presented this morning, we have hymn number 414 printed for you there in the bulletin. "'Tis good, Lord, to be here." We sing stanzas 1, 3, and 5. You've been joining us on the radio this morning. We thank you for tuning into our worship service, and we wish you the Lord's blessings and his peace as he continues his faithfulness towards us all in Christ Jesus. If you're gathered with us in the sanctuary, we invite you to turn over to page 11 for our service of the sacrament. And if the congregation is able, please stand at this time. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For at his baptism, your voice from heaven revealed him as your beloved Son, and the Holy Spirit descended on him, confirming him to be the Christ. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he'd given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. And when he'd given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sin. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
O Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, in giving us your body and blood to eat and to drink, you lead us to remember and confess your holy cross and passion, your blessed death, your rest in the tomb, your resurrection from the dead, your ascension into heaven, and your coming for the final judgment. So remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you for joining our service today at Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa, Colorado. We hope this worship service has been a blessing to you. If you would like to support our ministry, please visit our website by searching Trinity Lutheran Church Alamosa. On our website, click the link for Apple or Android devices to upload our app to your phone or tablet. Our app has many resources to help you. Thank you, and may the Lord bless you this week.
KSPK, Walsenburg, Alamosa.